This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
What exciting stuff do you have for us today?
Well, quite exciting news, actually. We talked last year about the fact that Elon Musk had been given permission to insert his Neuralink brain chip into a human subject. And he's done that. And the subject turns out to be 29-year-old Noland Arbaugh, who since the last 80 years has been paralysed from the shoulders down following a diving accident, which is an awful thing to happen to him. Anyway, maybe having a Elon Musk chip inserted into your brain is equally awful, but it turns out not, because he can now control a computer by thought alone. And there are videos of him controlling a cursor, playing chess, when he can move the cursor around the screen and pick up chess pieces. And then he discovered he could play his favourite game, which was Civilization, which is a video game, which he played nonstop for 8 hours until the battery died.
Okay.
But, I mean, so it's really fantastic news, don't you think?
That's extraordinary. I'm surprised Elon Musk didn't try it on himself.
Yes, you'd think he would, but maybe he will, now that he knows it works, now that he's used his human guinea pig.
But that is quite extraordinary.
It really is, yes.
And what do we know what they have planned then for the brain chip for the future? Similar things, presumably.
Well, I imagine once you've got the chip in your brain, you then need quite a complicated piece of equipment to actually pick up the signals and turn them into something that can move the computer. So it's not something that, you know, anyone who can't use their limbs will be able to get in the very near future. But it's possible. That's what he's proved. It is possible.
Yes. Proof of possibility. Yes. Quite extraordinary. Well, I mean, much as we may deride Musk at times, he does seem capable of getting stuff done.
He does get a lot done. That's the problem, isn't it? He really gets stuff done.
Yeah.
Moving along, I mean, that leads us quite neatly onto AI and Anthropic. Anthropic is an AI startup who are aiming to rival OpenAI. They just had a bit of a boost from Amazon, who've given them $2.75 billion. In order to keep going, which for a startup, I think is pretty good going, don't you think?
It seems a reasonable amount of money, yes. Didn't they give it to us?
Well, I don't know. Let's start a startup and say we're going to beat OpenAI and see what happens.
Yes, yes, yes. Perhaps they need a little bit more proof than that.
Perhaps they don't. Well, if you want AI proof, then look no farther than OpenAI's latest venture, which is video. Now, we've seen a few demonstrations of this where they've done text to video, but they recently opened it up to a group of filmmakers who they asked to experiment. And there is a film called Airhead, and I recommend you Google it. If you Google Airhead OpenAI, then you'll come to the video. And it is starts off with someone cycling, and you see their feet, and you gradually pan up. And they're talking about how they're different and they look different and, you know, people just have to get used to it. And it pans up to the fact that they have a balloon for a head. And what follows is lots of images of them cycling in a party with lots of people around, swimming with dolphins, and then visiting historic sites, detaching the balloon and it floating up so they can see the site from above. But entirely AI generated. And it will shock the film industry because it will mean that they, in theory, well, no, in practice, will no longer need sets or indeed actors. So it's quite shocking, really quite shocking what the future holds. AI is coming for everyone. It is almost certainly coming for us.
In theory, that could be a boon to humankind. I mean, well, you know, everybody's always worried about new innovations in technology, but most of the time it sort of frees people up for doing other things.
But what are all the set makers and key grips and camera operators and best boys and gaffers? What are they going to do?
What will all the farmhands do when they went to work in factories? And when they mechanised the factories, what would all the loom workers do? Well, I mean, you know, it's
They would throw their sabots into the machinery, of course.
Yes. Saboteurs.
Exactly.
Yes.
Just so. Sadly, people don't tend to wear sabots anymore, but traitors.
Time for everybody in the film industry to get some.
It almost certainly is. They'd need quite small sabots to throw them into computers, though.
That's true. They'd
probably
have
to go to the North Pole to find the computers.
In my experience, a cup of sugary tea or a glass of white port will do just as effectively.
Maybe it will. So... talking of AI and what it can do, Suno. Now, Suno, S-U-N-O, is a website that has been doing AI songwriting for a while, and they've recently released version 3. And so I asked it to write a song about Share Radio, a little pop song. And shall we see what they came up with?
I'm a bit worried about this, but yes, let's go.
Tune in, turn it up, it's time to listen to the dial of fame, it's a financial mission. Share Radio's the station where money gets its voice. From Wall Street to London, they give us all the choice. Ooh, yeah. They'll tell you about markets, they'll tell you about trends. They'll guide you through stocks and all the dividend. With lively hosts and experts, they break it down so clear. Share Radio's the station where all the bulls will cheer. Money talk, it's what we need. Share Radio, the station indeed.
And so that's not as bad as I expected it was going to be.
It's not as bad as you expected. Well, in that case, let's have something that's just as bad as you would expect. Let's have a heavy metal version of not the same song, but in fact a different song.
Okay. Yes.
Didn't like that one? Well, I know that Share Radio's owner, Gavin, is far more interested in folk music than...
He certainly is. He certainly is. So, you want to hear this one?
Let's have a little folk version of our song.
Oh, Share Radio, you keep us in the know. Financial wisdom, you help our money grow. Tune in each day with your friendly DJ, guiding us through stocks and bonds, come what may.
It's quite pleasant.
It's pleasant, yes.
Not quite to your
We
taste.
Don't have many DJs I on Share Radio, but
well, we don't have many DJs, but yes, that's true.
Yeah, that's actually quite nice. Rather easy to hear the words, I found, than some of the others.
Well, indeed, but that tends to be the case with heavy metal anyway. But it's kind of
that's certainly true. Yes.
Not that I imagine you listen to very much of it. Hmm. What you do listen to, of course, is ukulele music. I know you're a big George Formby fan.
Oh God, we're going to get George Formby doing one now. Okay, I'll
we're
want to
not
hear
George
this.
Formby. We are going to get a ukulele version of our song.
Okay.
I've got my radio tuned in with glee to a station that's all about money, you see. They're keeping me up to date on the stock exchange and giving me tips for big money gains. Oh, tune in to Share Radio, it's quite absurd. You how to win.
Well, that was also quite pleasant for a while. We lost the ukulele for a long time. So who actually who's able to use that? Who owns the copyright to that? So I can't help being that our owner might actually want to use one of those.
Well, I believe we do own the copyright.
What, just by asking it to produce the song?
I don't know, but I'm sure we're allowed to use it on. Maybe we're allowed to play it on the radio. Who knows?
I mean, given that this is still
when we get sued.
Yes. Given that this is please don't even joke about such things. Given that this is still sort of relatively in its infancy, in addition to all those filmmakers, songwriters must be getting worried. Jingle makers must be getting petrified.
Everyone will be getting petrified, and it's not surprising because this is going to be. Well, God, the future of just about anything, which is scary. I mean, it really is, quite scary. So if you want to know how you can use Suno, you go to app.suno.ai, and then you can use it. You need to sign up to get a free account. Well, the free account allows you to produce 10 songs a day.
Well, I mean, in his pomp, Paul McCartney didn't manage that.
Exactly. When I say 10 songs, it's actually two different versions of each of 5 songs. But still, 5 songs a day is not bad.
That's pretty extraordinary. Yes.
It is absolutely.
I wonder how long it's going to be before one of these AI-produced songs sort of catches on and becomes popular and then gets into what I believe used to be called the Hit Parade. I've no idea what it's called now.
The Charts. I think it's been called the charts for a good 40 years.
Oh, has it? Oh, yes. My daughter helped something get to the top of the charts recently. It is.
So it takes about a minute or two after the text prompt before you get two versions of your song.
So it takes you less time than it takes the song to play.
Less time than it takes to play. Isn't that astonishing?
On that bombshell, then, let us pause for a moment. We'll be back very soon.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Sharing ideas about money. This is Share Radio.
This is Simon Rose in conversation with Steve Kaplan as we talk about gadgets and gizmos, and particularly we've been talking about AI and its ability to generate films and songs. Well, so far not radio shows, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time.
It is certainly only a matter of time. You can believe that. Don't tell Gavin or he'll replace us.
Yes, okay? That's true.
Hope he doesn't listen to this segment.
Sadly, I'm afraid he will.
Yes. Well, let's get down to earth. With potholes, the blight of every driver's existence. And potholes is, of course, caused by rain or frost getting into the cracks in the road. So if you can heal the cracks in the road, then the potholes don't have a chance to form. This is the idea of a spin-out of the University of Liverpool, which they call Robotiz 3D. It's a terrible name. Robotiz with a Z, 3D. And they have produced what they call their autonomous road repair system, which rather neatly abbreviates to ARS. But
that's the Liverpool I know.
It probably is. Anyway, what it does is it patrols the roads autonomously by itself. It spots small cracks and it seals them with tar to prevent the potholes. It looks like a huge black coffin on wheels. It's really a very ugly machine and quite a frightening thing to see going down the road. And they're doing a trial in Potter's Bar in Hertfordshire. And we'll see if it works. But what a great idea. Stop the potholes before they start.
I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
Extraordinary.
We did talk some time ago on this show about an autonomous machine that could actually repair potholes.
Yes, clearly not in widespread use in the UK yet.
Clearly not.
No.
Clearly not. So potholes, well, bad news for drivers and also very bad news for cyclists. But another thing that's bad news for cyclists is, of course, glass, broken glass and nails.
Mm.
And particularly on cycle lanes, because these things tend to get brushed off the road by cars going past onto the cycle path, which is very, very annoying and can lead to broken burst tyres and the like. The bike lane sweeper is produced by an engineer in Sunnyvale, California, which he's called Bike Lane Sweeper. He clearly hasn't got any marketing.
Does what it says on the tin.
Yes, it does. And it's a motorised trailer that sweeps up debris and you tow it behind your bicycle.
Hang on, I can see
a
problem here.
Can you spot the error? Exactly.
Yes, I can see a real problem here. Oh, dear me.
Oh, dear me, indeed. If he'd perhaps fixed it in front of the bicycle, then it might work rather better.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. Though you can get, what are they called, marathon tyres. Is that what they're called? Which I have on my bike, which are less susceptible to glass and nails. They're much more expensive, but touch wood, so far I've yet to have a puncture with one.
Oh. Have you also tried airless tyres?
No.
Mm.
No, then, you've talked about those before, haven't you?
Yes, they have. They're expensive, but probably worth trying if you get a lot of punctures.
Yes. So, yeah, it seems like a great idea. I can only assume that he's very, very vigilant at avoiding any glass or nails.
Well, he can't
nails,
because he has to ride over them in order to pick them up.
I know.
Put it in front. I hope he's listening. Put it in front.
In front. Yes. However, at least it's not called the Robot is 3D or whatever that other thing was.
Yes, indeed. I think we should move on to our crowdfunding time of the week. If you
do, you indeed. Well, in that case, you can have a fanfare.
They're robot vacuums. They clean your house for you. And they're fantastic if you have a carpeted house and you live in a flat. But like Daleks, they can't climb stairs. So a problem for anyone who lives in a house rather than in a flat, or shall we say apartment, since they're more prevalent in the US than they are here. Well, unlike Daleks, they can now climb stairs. This is the MIGO, M-I-G-O, Ascender. And it is a stair-climbing robot vacuum. And it's quite extraordinary to watch. It has a central section that sucks everything up and two sort of outboard limbs that just look like part of the vacuum. If you imagine a regular old-fashioned vacuum cleaner with the handle taken off, looks a bit like that. Boxy, squarish thing. And when it gets to stairs, the limbs go up and reach onto the first step, and then the body lifts up and goes onto the step, and then it carries on, and it keeps on going until the whole thing manages to climb the stairs. Not quickly, it has to be said. But it does clean the stairs more or less as it goes, at least the centre of the stairs. And then it can do upstairs as well as downstairs, and it can suck up liquids, solids, debris. I mean, they could use it on the bike paths.
Well, I was about to say exactly that. Yes, yes. Just push it in front of your bike.
And if you like the idea of it, there's a super early bird saving is currently still available at $849, which is about £675. So not cheap.
I've got a better idea.
Buy two of them.
Yes. Keep one upstairs, one downstairs. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be a better idea. But anyway,
do the stairs yourself. Yeah.
But it's such a cute idea. I really hope they manage to make it.
I just hope the Daleks aren't listening.
Yes, indeed. That would be disastrous.
That's the end of mankind there.
It would. So, drone deliveries. Deliveries in Sweden. They're trying out a new way of delivering food in Sweden with a new drone, which is, it looks a bit like R2-D2, if you remember him from Star Wars. So it's a cylindrical kind of robot, and it's hollow. So it has, obviously, propellers attached to it, and it flies up, and inside it is the package it's delivering, the food package. When it gets to where it's delivering, the food package is lowered on a cord until it touches the ground, then disconnects, and it flies away again. So it doesn't have to. That doesn't have to land in order to deliver the food, which is good news because, you know, landing drones, there might be trees or plants or anything in the way, or people in the way.
That's true.
I think it's rather clever, don't you?
Yes. What happens if you're not in?
Well, I think you make sure you're in if you're getting a delivery of food. I mean, what happens if you get a delivery from Ocado and you're not in?
Well, that's true. I suppose you have to arrange to be in. Yes.
You have to arrange to be in, yes. They probably give you a more accurate time slot than sometime next week. These people aren't plumbers.
Okay.
Now, my iPhone can shoot at high speed. It can shoot at
what?
Up to, well, I think it's 120 frames per second.
I thought you were talking about firing a projectile.
I mean, let me just have a look. Is it 60? Or is 120? Let me just check. I'm going to open up my camera and go to, where's it gone? Slow-mo. And no, 240 frames per second.
Which is 10 times the speed of an old film camera.
So, I mean, it's very good for slowing things down. Like if your son is doing a high jump at his school, for example,
Then
you could film it and you could have him leaping slowly over the thing. It's very good. That's extremely well. But it's nothing compared to the world's fastest camera. And this is some researchers in Canada. Back in 2014, they produced a camera that could shoot at 100 billion frames a second.
What?
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's
they
quite
called
a few,
the result
yes.
Compressed Ultra-Fast Photography, abbreviated to CUP. They then produced one that could film at a trillion frames per second, which they very neatly called T-CUP. Which is wonderful, don't you think?
Well, it's a high-speed one, so it should be hiccup.
It should. Well, they've now produced one, which they haven't yet got a suitable name for. I hope they're listening. Hiccup.
Yeah.
Which can shoot at 156 trillion frames per second.
But why?
Oh, for science stuff, not for people jumping over high jumps.
Okay, right.
For science, yeah, science stuff. Measuring things that couldn't be measured. Just to put that in perspective, that's as many frames in a second as there are seconds in 32 million years.
Good grief.
Good grief indeed.
That's extraordinary. Well, thank goodness they don't have to develop it. I hope it's digital.
Set each frame down to boots to get it developed.
Yes.
That would take a little while.
That is amazing. So what else do you have?
Well, Northrop Grumman, well-known manufacturer of, I think, tanks. Didn't they start off doing tanks? Maybe
other
things. They have won a contract from DARPA, DARPA being the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Mm-hmm. And I hope you noticed that I spelt defense with an S there.
I could tell it in your voice, yes.
I tried to emphasize this yes. rather more than I did if it was a C.
Yeah.
And DARPA has given them a contract to develop a railway on the moon.
Oh, wow.
And why not? So I bet they're rubbing their hands with
even food. Elon Musk hasn't come up with that one yet.
Well, the thing is that there's a 10-year lunar architecture study based on the idea that people will eventually have houses or moon stations.
Yes.
And the problem with it is if they zoom around in lunar buggies, they will leave tracks. And unlike here, where the tracks are blown away by the wind, they will be there forever. So the moon would permanently be scarred by tracks. It would make Sherlock Holmes's job much easier. He could just follow the tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. And the moon, because the moon is big. It has a surface area, I've read, equivalent to Africa. So it really is, you know, really quite big.
So when's this railway going to be built?
Well, I don't know if they're going to be built, but they're just studying how it could be built. Oh, but they're going to give that.
As left planning a strike already.
Yeah, exactly. Of course they are.
Well, that's fascinating. Great, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. That's it for this edition of Gadget and Gizmos. If you're a filmmaker or a songwriter, get your CV into some new occupation as soon as you can. But that's it for this edition of Gadgets and Gizmos.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.